20 years ago from Tuesday, a new Central European regional grouping emerged from a meeting of three prime ministers at a historic site overlooking the Danube in Hungary. The immediate goal was to step up cooperation as they moved to hitch their newly freed countries as soon as possible to the European Union and the West. But the Visegrad 3, later 4, has proved its staying power even after these goals were achieved. Chris Johnstone has this report.
Czechoslovak President Václav Havel, Poland's Lech Walesa and Hungary's Josef Antal would not have missed the symbolism of the site as they penned the Visegrad Agreement on February the 15th, 1991. 656 years earlier, the kings of Bohemia, Hungary and Poland met to discuss pressing issues, including how to bypass a commercial stranglehold exerted by Vienna. But the lesson of the following decades and centuries was that Central European cooperation was often at best sporadic and at worst quickly dissolved into rivalry and conflict. So the original leaders might well have been surprised by the scene today in Bratislava, as prime ministers from the Visegrad Four, Slovakia and the Czech Republic replacing the former Czechoslovakia, are joined by counterparts from Germany, Austria and the Ukraine for what might be termed a working celebration. After a hesitant and somewhat shaky start, not helped by former Czech Prime Minister Václav Klaus's contempt for the new creation, the regional grouping has flourished, even after the original goals were achieved with EU and NATO membership. For Vít Dostal, an analyst with the Prague-based foreign affairs think tank, the Association for International Studies, the Visegrad cooperation was given a new boost by EU membership in 2004.
I think that the Visegrad Group countries have definitely many things to share. The fact that all Visegrad Group countries are members of the European Union strengthens the role of the Visegrad Group, because before found its role in the European politics. It works now as kind of a lobby or pressure group within the Brussels, within the EU.
He says that the four countries frequently vote the same way when major EU decisions are taken and have come to recognise that union is force when the going gets tough in Brussels. Under the current voting system, the four countries have the same voting weight as the traditional EU frontrunners, Germany and France, though still fall short of being a blocking minority. And they have proved that together they can force concessions from bigger, richer countries. But does the loose group of four still have a future, or should it seek to widen its membership? Vít Dostal again.
There were questions whether to accept Slovenia, which was willing to join the V4, or whether after the Orange Revolution in the Ukraine, whether to accept Ukraine into this cooperation. Well, I don't think that it is possible.
For him, while not a finished work, the Visegrad 4 functions as it is, inviting other countries from the Baltics, Balkans or immediate neighbours to attend meetings when relevant. With Europe's reforming Lisbon Treaty shifting more power to big countries, he says the Central European Club will have even more reason to exist in the future.
Thanks to Chris Johnstone for that report. This is Radio Prague.